So we pray, Heavenly Father, we've been singing this chorus, which we know to be Brother Branham's favorite, written by Brother Rader, Lord, and given to us, and we know that you are here. We know that Jesus is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that is what we are very happy to know, knowing also that we have now come to the place of the Gentiles receiving the same benefit and ministry that the Israelites had and the Gentiles doing to the Holy Spirit, even what the Jews did to him who was here in the flesh, and that is crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, putting to an open shame. But Lord, it doesn't take away from the fact that there were a few disciples who believed you. There was one that betrayed you, but there were the other 11 who were steadfast and strong, each one giving his life for you, Lord, and except for John, all them taken away, and then Paul coming, and he also being executed, but you taking John by a natural course, and we know, Lord, many have gone on before us, many martyrs, perhaps at this day. There'll be martyrs also, but there'll be some standing here for the catching away, and we thank you for, Lord, that we are now at the end where Alpha has become the Omega, and we see the perfection of this hour, Lord. No room for doubts of any description. We know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that unto you to whom we've committed our souls, we are kept to this very day and shall be kept beyond it. May your name be glorified, Lord, as we attempt to teach the word and see people drawn to a deeper consecration in life, knowing exactly who and what we are and what you have done and are doing and what manner of men that we ought to be, even as your word has confirmed to us. Help us, therefore, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated now. I want to bring the message this morning on the life of the blood of the cross. But before I do, I just want to recap a little bit without actually reading my notes, which would take a long time and also prolong the service much longer than it needs to be. But I read a couple verses the other night from the book of Colossians, which are absolutely fabulous in the light of what Brother Branham taught us in what you might say 20th century language. For it says in Colossians 1:20-23, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of this gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Now you'll notice in here that everything depends upon our believing and continuing in the faith of what Paul sets forth that has been accomplished through Jesus Christ as the person, the Son of God, who died upon Calvary and shed his blood. And the consequence for the believer is simply absolutely astounding. For he said that through Jesus, and we'll see more of this as we go along, through this one who died upon Calvary, through his death, the shedding of blood, and of course you don't discount the resurrection. You have to understand that. But we're talking basically upon the fact of our ability to be accessible to God and God accessible to us, and a mutual fellowship and unaggrieved but perfect relationship of the Father to his children, who we must remember is definitely God, though he is our Father. So you have to understand now that we are talking in terms of the absolute of God, not in terms of Father. though the Father is relevant, in this particular case it is irrelevant, because it does not matter whose generation we are, whose seed we are. The fact remains that there was an alienation. And you know, when children are alienated from their parents, it is always over whether the child will follow the mind of the father or not. That's the big thing. Will the children follow the understanding, the love, the wisdom, the ability that the parent has? Will that child listen? And when the child doesn't, there's an alienation. And if the alienation, of course, is over something stupid, that's bad. But when we're talking about the Bible, we're not talking about anything which is irrelevant or ridiculous or childish or stupid or infantile. This is so grievous that God gave his only begotten Son, whereby his blood was shed in order that we might be reconciled. So they were alienated. Now, you'll notice in here, it brings together the works and the mind. And so, therefore, it all starts in the mind. So, therefore, the mind of the alienated child, or even unalienated in the sense that the child is not yet responsible by reason of having been dealt with, so that child would have this knowledge, the alienation was already there. In other words, being put in the flesh to be tempted and tested is a very horrible thing, because right away we find that our minds are in direct contradiction to the mind of God. See, that's why Paul says, bringing every thought into captivity and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So right away we see that we are like the devil. The mind will not accept the word of the living God. And the Bible says there is no way the human being can actually ever do that. he's not only alienated, but he's trapped. He's in a cage. He cannot get out. Now, how are we going to get so that we are no longer aliens? An alien is not a happy person, because he's in a strange country. He's called a sojourner in the Bible, or a pilgrim. He's in a tough spot. They say, not just between a rock and a hard place. He is the hard place. So, we're dealing then with works and mind. And this is why Brother Branham said, your brain has to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And this is why you have a spirit that works with the mind or the brain, with what comes to us in the mechanical form, though definitely inspired and dynamized by God himself, vindicated word, the mind must receive it. And the brain, anointed by the Holy Ghost, grabs it by the Spirit, brings it down to the soul. And then upon confession, you stand right there with God. Absolutely with God. So, as we see this person here, so utterly alienated, a foreigner in a strange land, the eagle in the chicken pen, the sheep in the hog pen. It is a tragic situation. And Paul screamed out, who is going to save me from this body of sin? Who's going to do something for me? I've got to have help. Now, when you look at this terrible condition the man is in, he says enemies, not just alienated, but an enemy. You see, now it's not just you being alienated, you become an enemy. And by wicked, in your mind, by wicked works. And so what he's telling you here, your mind is in direct contradiction to the mind of God, and therefore the very thing that you would do to please God is displeasing to God and throws you further from God. Understand what I'm saying? This is a mess. But watch what happens through the blood. You are now being presented holy. Holy means pure. Pure. Well, now, if you're pure and you are an alien, that means your citizenship is another in another country.
your lineage, an ancestor from another country, now you're pure. You're no longer a part of the country in which you're an alien. In other words, what I'm looking at is this, that if your root was in God to begin with, now through the blood, you have become pure God, and we'll talk about the Spirit, but I want you to get the background. Through this, you're now able to be in a position of where it is no longer an alien, an enemy, without hope, without peace, without affection, all these things. It is now right back to purity. You are pure, absolutely pure. And pure means of one composition. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, let's get the picture, because this is really actually what some people would call stupid. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus calls the dead forth from the ground, they with us, without us, cannot be made perfect. So there's a perfection for the bride at this time, so she walks right into immortality, for Jesus has risen with healing in his wings, which is immortality. That's in Malachi. So under Malachi 4, we have immortality coming. And when immortality comes, it means corruption is gone, and incorruption has set in, and undefiled, and so therefore, we must be pure. Now, the presentation Paul talks about, when you die and go to the other place that Brother Brandon came back and explained and said was so beautiful, just all love and everything else, said it makes you realize that what we have now is what is there, because if we didn't have what is now, we couldn't get there. So he says you're pure, like an element, gold, and it even goes beyond that. See? So the word holy means you're pure. The next thing it says, unblameable. Unblameable means you don't have any faults. Oh, brother. That'll cook you right there as to whether you believe God or not. See, what I'm trying to show you now, and get this to understand, I am dealing intrinsically with you, the part that came from God, your soul. As Brother Branham said, my ears, my nose, who is I? He said, who's me? I agree with him. I'm this I bit and all the proper grammar. My God, you've got to parse the president every time. We don't have to parse God. Hallelujah. You know, I don't care what American president does anymore. I only care what my president does in my head, which is God. So forget the... I'm an alien. I'm a double alien like you are, triple, quadruple alien. We come to the exponential curve of how alienated we are from this country and the world. And with the more alienated you are, it shows that your mind is more and more in the kingdom of God and you being more and more a part of it. And you're no longer fighting God in your mind. You're, therefore, reasoning has taken the back seat for once. And it's a pure word of God. That's why I say by now, and it is true, if I find Brother Branham mention the scripture, I sure ought to know what he's going to talk about. If I hear him say something, I should be able to place it. And you have found, as I've taught you the last little while, how much closer we're getting. And I am an example that after all these years of following Brother Branham very closely, even before he died, I'm just beginning to see the perfection of what he said here. And I say, I see that perfectly. And over here, I see the perfection here. But now I'm beginning to put it together, which is what we're doing. So, all right, it says that you are absolutely pure. You are absolutely faultless. And you are unreprovable means that if you're unreprovable, you must be approved and you cannot be accused. Now, putting this together, as we look at this, you can only draw one conclusion, and that is because the blood was shed from before the foundation of the world, and God has predestinated, and all this has been done, there is only one conclusion. And that is the conclusion that Brother Branham taught us. There will come a time when you realize you always were saved. You always were saved. You never were not a part of the kingdom. You never were not a part of God. But you were alienated through the mind, the reasoning of the spirit which was given of God, rather allowed of God, but not of God. The one waiting to catch you as you came here. And so now you have that which was absolutely of God, which is the soul, and the others are also of God, being allowed of God what He wanted, so you are a tripartite being, your body, soul, and spirit. With the soul on the inside, the spirit on the outside of that, and the body. So it says right here now, through the blood, you are right back. And of course, don't discount the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you how this takes place through what the Holy Spirit came in to do because of the blood. See, the blood of the cross. So now, you stand before God, and I stand before God, just as we're going to stand before God, because if we haven't got it now, you tell me what God's going to do for us and to us and with us to get us to this state. Forget it. Why? Because your body won't be there. Your spirit won't be there. You as a soul will be there. So if it isn't here now, it's not going to be there. That's why Brother Branham could say, you'll understand sometime you always were saved. You always were a part of God. You never were actually lost. What it was, you were alienated. And alienated means the fellowship was broken. You couldn't have that communion as God being your Father. So now, he goes on to say that the blood of Jesus Christ is a bleach. And he said, you pour the bleach in, and a chemical reaction sets in, taking the product back to what it was in the beginning. Well, didn't he say it, or did he say it? Then, all right, then, if that's the case, you've now come to the place of the soul being absolutely pure and undefiled in the sense of any contamination or anything around it, or any hindrance whatsoever between us and God as to our minds, our desires, and those things which He wants for us and we want from Him, but we're still in this flesh. So now we're back to the purity. Again, he said, and I'll use the term a little loosely because he didn't put it all together as I'm doing it. I'm just still going to use the word bleach. Now, he said, what he did say was, the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin until there be no evidence of it. So how can you make a man a sinner? So I'll just use the other word, the bleach of the blood of Jesus. It doesn't only scatter sin, it hits it so hard that there's absolutely the place where you're left, there's nothing clinging to you anymore. You're absolutely free. That's why Brother Branham could turn around then and say that you didn't even do it. And he said, it all falls back on Satan. Now do you see, this scripture here is what Brother Branham used when he preached all those things that he said. There isn't anything that he said you cannot take to the Apostle Paul. Because he said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. And I take you to the scripture, which is my job to show you. That every single thing that Brother Branham taught is word, 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 and more word. And if we ever lose the sight of that, we might as well fold our tents and go, because we are not just aliens in a foreign land. We are sinners unto God and before God in a stinking kingdom of the devil, because one word off of Satan's kingdom. And remember, it wasn't just one word that Satan added. It was the interpretation of that word by adding the word. Take away a word, it's the same thing. In other words, when people begin to meddle with the word of God, it shows they're nothing but satanic, because the word iniquity means perverting the word. And now today in America, it's proven there is no word left. If you want to know the truth, morality and immorality is merely what you want to make it according to the circumstances and the age in which you live. That's what America says. That's what the preachers say. That's what everybody says. And even Falwell, so popularly stupid, tells the world the Antichrist is going to be a Jew. A Jew, my foot. It's going to be a Christian. And it'll be a Pope. And even the Catholics have known that for generations. Read the books and you'll find out. There is no light and life outside of this message. Why is there no life out except in this message? Because the life, the Jesus words, are spirit and they are life. And without those words, as Paul said, the pure words of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no life in us. And the eating of this word, as Jesus himself said, is the one thing that gives life, and man cannot live by any other bread but this word. So, all right. We showed you that last night, and I'm taking more time than I should be doing it. But all right. So now that I've commented, and I have done a little more than scarcely because I wanted to be very, very short, but I've done it at least concisely as I could. Taken from the message on Good Friday, wherein I stated the great errors of traditional Christianity as to their concept of the blood of the cross. And I want to continue on that also, that we might have more understanding about the efficacy of the blood due to Brother Branham's preaching, wherein he put in very simple words what Paul taught, and yet no theologian put it that plainly, though actually those theologians unclearly, and that's the thing, unclearly said the same thing without a perfect and true knowledge, where the statements became very definitive and absolutely one with the mind of God as we have it today. It was left to Brother Branham, and thereby has been given to us the perfect light that was previously brought but hidden over the ages, because the further from the candlestick, the less the light. And we find that over here, and I want to read it to you to give you a basic understanding. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and in verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Now that tells you something. I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, when you look at this scripture, I want you to notice that when he says childish things, it's not childish as though you look at a man's actions and say, my, that was childish, wasn't it? It was a very callow, immature person. And that is true. But it actually does not say that. It's actually, I put away those things that were beneficial to me as a child. And those things were beneficial as a child are no longer beneficial now because I'm an adult. Like the term pablum, you know, that's a formulation of baby food. And they use it because it's supposed to have a lot of nourishment and it's very easily taken into the mouth and down into the digestive tract, and you get something from it. It's something like they give old people Ensure, and they say it's good, but it's a bunch of junk. It'll kill you. It won't help you. You want to really know the truth about it. But he's talking here now about that which was beneficial to a child. Now, Paul, speaking to the Hebrews, he mentioned that there was a difference between this and adulthood. And what Paul is talking about here, he tells you, he said, love never fails, and whether it be prophecies, they'll fail, and tongues, they're going to cease, and knowledge will vanish. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So he's talking about the ages. And he's talking as Brother Branham did, as he talked about the Holy Spirit in the ages, according to 1 Peter, starting with faith, and then and so on down the line till you got right up to the highest position where you came to love, which is God himself. He said that applies in the ages, and it applies to the individual the same way. You know, faith and power and all those other interesting things there. So Paul is doing the same thing here now. He said when the end time comes, it's face to face. So therefore now, as it was in Paul's day, face to face with the baby church. Now it's face to face with the adult church. And the adult church can no longer act as children in the sense that they now are utilizing the word that has been previously preached and utilized before this hour. As Brother Branham said, God does not vindicate the old worn out moth-eaten message. He said when the scripture said, Jesus himself, the prophets, no word of God is void of power, and Jesus himself saying that not one word shall pass away till all be fulfilled. Brother Branham brought that to our attention. When a portion of the word is fulfilled, it becomes, as it were, mealy-bug-eaten. And it's no longer fit for consumption. Why? Because it has been consumed. So at the end of the age, all tables are full of vomit. It doesn't mean that the food that they ate was impure food. It doesn't mean that the food didn't take care of them. But no message will take care of us except the end-time mature adult message. And so therefore you have to learn, as Paul did, to put everything else away that you ever heard. And as I told you, after 33 years, I'm still learning how to put away what I was taught. And then some people have the nerve to phone me and tell me they know this message. It makes me sick at my stomach because they can't even read. And I can prove to you, you stand with me with Brother Branham's message, I will show you, you can't even read. Now I've offered a challenge, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody here, but you take me up on it. Because after people get through talking on the phone, and they hit me with all the quotes, then I got to rest a while. And then I go and find what Brother Branham really did say. And it's not what they say he said, it's what they want to think that he said. And they're still way back. This message obviates every single thing that you have ever believed, or you become alienated from God by wicked works in your mind. Now, is that where you want to sit this morning? Or do you want to sit in heavenly place in Christ Jesus? Because your brother Baylor starts with works. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash I ever heard in my life. I could say something there, I'll let it go because I don't want to get into that. Now, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which in part shall be done away. He said it was okay when I was a child. I used those things that were necessary for me at that time. But today you use what's necessary for you now. And remember, at this hour, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings, which absolutely is immortality. And without this message, you will not be in the rapture. So what are you going to do? Well, you say, I'm going to mix it. No, you're not going to mix it. No way. No way can you mix it. Every single table's full of vomit. Every single doctrine's become impure. Every single one. And the two spirits are now so close that without some type of help, you will be fooled, absolutely fooled. And you're being fooled left and right now. We're still back in Pentecost, where they think they can hear a voice or they get some anointing from Jesus. Forget it. See, I got a part of God. That doesn't make you God. And Jesus had a whole lot of God, and he's still not God. He's fit to be worshipped and adored, but he isn't God. Godhead is one person. And he's not diminished. When that Son came forth, God was not diminished. No way, shape, and form. Even the Son, as great as he was, had to acquiesce. But he did it in humility and truth when he said, I only do what my Father tells me to do, or what I see him do, and I say what he tells me to say. Jesus never had a word of his own any more than the devil did. There's only one person got word, that's God. You tell me different. So, well, Brother Vail, look at the language. My Bible said God came down and confused him, gave him languages. What does your Bible tell you? Are you reading hogwash? This Bible is hogwash with the devil in it. I mean, plain nonsense. No life in it. Once the devil gets a hold of this word, and that's the only word he's got, and that's the only word he wants. See, he was created to worship God. The cherub with his wings outstretched over the Ark of the Covenant. Supposed to guard the word. What did he do? He perverted the word. So, all right, we're looking at an unperverted word today. We're looking what the blood of Jesus Christ purchased for us. Now, we have to understand now that we are speaking the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Because the truth as it is in Christ Jesus came from Almighty God. And it's Almighty God that came down and proved everything about that Son and our relationship to Him. All right, the scriptures I'm talking about are the very ones that I used last night. And when I used last night was over here in John, the 6th chapter, which is absolutely fabulous and tremendous when you realize that Brother Branham was using this. And he says over here in 53 to 57, Jesus then said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now notice right there. He that drinketh my blood, eats my flesh, dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now remember, he says those very same words in explanation in John 14. So you can't run with John 6 without going to John 14. Here's where the Roman Catholics make the most stupid mistake in all the world. A blood will bless that wafer and turn it into the body of Jesus. Hogwash. I'd like to see the Pope do it. I'd like to see a Catholic priest do it. I know George Merkel. Dr. George Merkel, one of the most brilliant scientists in the world. He, by actually manipulating science, can do what the... only the alchemists were supposed to do ages ago, which is to take one substance and turn it into another. He's the guy that makes the diamonds and the other gems and gives them color. And he does it by reversing the whirl. I forget how he did it. I read about it. I've met the man. I'd like to see the Pope do something about taking a wafer. Go ahead. Listen, today, we are not basing anything upon fallacy, hope so, guess so. As Laura Sessinger said, hoping and wanting and wishing will get you nowhere. But face reality. So we over here in John 14, which you haven't read yet, we'll see it. Now, and as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live. So we got what you might call a kind of a metaphor here. All right. Along with this, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews and find out exactly the revelation of this through the Apostle Paul. And it's in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verses 1 through 23. That's a lot of reading, but it's all right. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, that ought to let you know right there, if that couldn't do it, God's got to produce something that does make him perfect. Right? Why would it bring it up otherwise? God's not taking a people in limbo and casting them into further limbo. God never sent a prophet like William Branham to further muddy the waters. We just haven't caught up yet to some of the things he said. Like, I'm still very confused about some things, like in marriage and divorce, and I don't touch the 10-foot pole at this time. Maybe later on I might do something, I don't know. I'm not going to try to fool around with something, think I know something when I don't. Let the other guys do it. They'll find out that people flock to their church in droves in this message to get married, divorce their wives, commit adultery, live in sin. I'll talk about that too in a few minutes, or an hour and a half from now, likely, when I get there. Yeah, because that's toward the end of the message. So don't feel too bad. We've got good, nice dinner for you out there. Just you stick with me a while. If you don't stick with me, you can't eat. But, yeah, that's right. All right. For then would they have not ceased to be offered. So, all right, perfection comes a certain way wherein they tried to offer something to God which was blood. So now the blood of Jesus makes us perfect. The blood, that's what Brother Branham said, the blood of Jesus perfects the bride. Well, hallelujah, now we're getting somewhere. Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sin. In other words, it doesn't mean that you don't know what sin is anymore. You can sin with impunity. I'm not saying that. It says, you know, the sin question has been answered as relative to your soul. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Your body's going to die anyway, and fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. You understand what I'm saying? We're dealing with the soul. We're dealing with the intrinsic you. We're dealing with who you are, you as an individual. Every soul that sinneth shall die. And the Bible even goes so far as to say so many souls were saved in the ark eight. Referring directly to the person as to what he is physically from the intrinsicality that brought forth the physical. Now, if you don't know what I said, get the tape and play it over again to begin to find out. In plain English, there has to be some kind of a light to produce a body. So what is it produced yours? But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin, completely exonerate. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou would not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin I had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the bond of the book, as is written, to do thy will, O God. Now this is Jesus talking to God. This is not God talking to God. This is Jesus, the man, talking to God. He's in a body. How stupid can people get? Then they think I'm preaching two gods. Yeah, all over the world. I can name names if you want me to. Oh, yeah, Leviel preaching two gods. I quote Brother Branham word for word, tell him where it's come to. Oh, Leviel preaching two gods. They can't read. No, they can't read. Brain dead. Oh, but Leviel, see, he's smart. Got a big education. Clever with words. Oh, he's mechanical. You show me gasoline poured on the ground. Put it in the tank where the mechanics are to make it go. If you've got the wrong mechanics, you don't got the Holy Ghost. Now what are you going to do about that? I'm not defending myself. I'm just telling you the word. I don't care about Leavale. I'll be dead. My lot's been cast. I'm not turning any more corners. Dead or alive, it's in the hands of God. And if he casts me into hell, that's what am I going to do about it? If you're going to take me to heaven, what am I going to do about it? If he gives me a high position up there, what am I going to do about it? If he gives me a low position, what am I going to do about it? My life's over. Don't try to kid me about turning a corner, smartening up here, smartening up there. Elohim of God and all that nonsense. Above when he said sacrifice and burnt offerings and for sin thou wouldst not, neither hath pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, now notice, repeat, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, and he established the second. So the first was not established. It was only a type and a shadow, and a very poor one at that. A very poor one at that. The Bible says so. You can't build on type and shadow. But the second is established. What is established? The death of Jesus Christ upon Calvary, the shedding of the blood, is established. That means no changing. By the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once, never again. And every priest that standeth daily ministering, offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And it's happening right now, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Happening right now. That is the voice. The klusma, which is a shout. The root meaning of that is to put into subjection, to take control over. I only found that because I had a Greek, an Englishman's Greek concordance, where in every single root, they put every single time in the Bible where that word is coming from that root. And that root, chrusma, in the Greek, call it, pronounce it what you want, and I care less how you pronounce it. I'm not interested. It means to put into subjection. It is a voice of command, a voice of authority, that which must be obeyed. And it's not only authoritative as a voice which must be obeyed, but thank God it is a voice that does what the voice says by the man, that's God Himself, in whom the voice is. In other words, the word of God cannot return unto Him void. So when He came down here and He said, you are the righteous, perfect, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is only proclaiming His own word that I'm reading to you here right now through the blood. You didn't do it. Why? You can't be blamed. You're unreprovable. And it's irrevocable because it's established unto Almighty God and by God. Now somebody comes along and said, well, there's if, there's that. You ain't got a clue, honey. There ain't no ifs. There ain't no buts. It is thus saith the Lord, vindicated. I'm not preaching you one thing the prophet hasn't said. I'm just giving you the word that he got it from, that's all, because that's my job. Sure, it's my job. You do what you want. I'm doing my job. That's for the guys that hear the tapes. I don't know where these tapes go. They go all over the world. Every now and then he says, well, I got to hold your tapes, Brother Vail. First time that the message becomes clear, then I watch and see what they do with it. And they're out there somewhere in Idaho, Montana, running around, going boing, boing. If you believe this word, you'd find a church where the word of God is. That's why you'd move, and where you'd move, you'd pay your tithes. Now, I don't need anybody's money. I'm telling you what God said for you to do. All right. But this man, he's a man. After he offered one sacrifice, he sat down the right hand of God, henceforth expecting. Now, verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those that are set apart unto God. That, my brother, sister, is election. Because the choosing is in him. He said, Brother Branham said, not just God said, I'll take this and I'll leave that and I want this and not the other. That wasn't it at all. It was every one of his children. And then Brother Branham preached at the West Coast just before he died, the thing on leadership, perhaps. I'm not quite sure. But he brought forth there in predestination and brought it right down to humanity. What would you do as a father for your child? Would God do less? The answer is no. He does more. Now it says here, for by one offering we've been perfected. Now listen, whereof, that means all the above, all the above. Now listen, all the above that Paul said, the Holy Ghost witnesses to that. That means positively, under the blood, as a seed of God, there is no way, I say no way whatsoever, you will not be sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Because it says right here. After that, he said before, this is the covenant I'll make with them. After those days, said the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds, I'll write them. Yeah, well, my mind doesn't mean a thing. That's Christian Science. The devil pulled the biggest trick in all the world when he had Mary Baker Eddy and her cohorts write the treatises on Christian Science, because she said God is universal mind, and from that time on it was feeling. Your feelings ain't worth a plug nickel. You're not worth a plug nickel. But Christian Science turned it all to Pentecost. It all that can go by feelings. Well, I feel the Spirit. A woman feels to preach. A man feels to divorce his wife and marry a 16-year-old. He feels, and it's God, because he feels. Well, I feel like bopping field of snout sometimes. And I ain't going to blame that on God for 15 seconds. Because that's Levy out getting out of control. Being stupid. Just being stupid. That's not God. You're going to go by your feelings. You go by the vindicated word, brother, sister, because there's nothing else you can rely on. We have turned the corner. We are no longer on the fence. We are hanging today over a precipice with one foot. We are off the perpendicular right now. And if God does not lift us up, we die with the rest of the world. And the foolish virgin get hunted down like wild dogs. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The actual things that you do because of that nature within you and your iniquities, which would be the perverting of the word, all of those things are forgiven, and now you're on the right track. And this is at the end time for you and me in a form in which it never was before. Like Brother Branham said, there was a time that you could join a church. You could shake hands. You could do this. You could do that. You could be off a doctrine here because you were seed and God overlooked it through the blood. But now remember, there's a trampling of the blood underfoot if you go off this word now. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. I'll pay for your motel rooms tonight. I got enough money. We're halfway through one tape. My heaven, put three on there, son. I'm not even finished on page two yet. So I know what we're going to do here. Now listen, having therefore, brethren, notice the word therefore again, brethren, not somebody else, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. As Brother Branham said, there was a time when you entered that holy place, you would die, and now if you don't enter, you will die. It's death to enter one time, it's death not to enter this time. By a new and living way, which is consecrated for us. Through the veil, that's to say his flesh, there they are, the shedding of blood, God within that veil, and having a high priest over the house of God, now he's the high priest, let us draw near with a true heart. What is that true heart? What I read in Colossians. Full assurance. Now, it means that there isn't any other assurance, and there isn't any assurance anywhere else, that this is the only assurance you got, so what are you going to do about it? Huh? God did this once for all. He's not going to do it a second time. He's not going to do another thing. This is it. This is what God wanted. It's over. It means full assurance. That was for every hour, every age. Now with this message, it's absolutely full to the very place of immortality, resurrection, and rapture. This is your full assurance. Because everything is based upon Christ, God within the veil, and the veil being hid, the blood of God, as I explained on Friday, showed you perfectly, Brother Branham taught, at least as perfect as I can know it. And that blood being shed, the covenant blood. Now, if it's the blood of the covenant, there's two things there. There's Rhema and Logos, which is not only the tremendous word of God, but it's manifested, veiled in flesh, that one spilling the blood, the very life, the blood being accepted, and God taking it. What are you going to do? See, that's where I am as I try to tell you. I don't have any feelings anymore. If I had a feeling, believe me, it's a bad feeling because I don't feel good. And a lot of times I'm kind of dizzy because my neck bones are so bad, cuts the blood off. You wouldn't think it, but it happens. It doesn't cut my tongue off anyway. Sure. As long as I can coordinate the tongue with the brain, God's helping, it's okay. But look, I can't go by feelings. I can't go by my life. I can't go by past. I can't go by future. I've got to go by, did he do it or did he not do it? Did he say it or did he not say it? Did he confirm it or did he not confirm it? Is it for me? Is it not for me? How do I know? Well, there's no way I can. There's no reason and no way I cannot know. The sheep hear the voice and they follow. And there's many voices out there in the air. But I heard the vindicated voice. Okay, well, we all claim that. We'll go to the Bible and let's find out if you do or not. Show me you guys that talk about the Elohim of God. There's one brother left here, and he's very happy now. He's a part of God. We're all part of God. A little girl, a preacher daughter, one day saw me not long ago. Well, Brother B, we're all a part of God. So now God poured into Christ everything. Throw away God. Now he poured in the church. Throw away him. Now we're it. Are you sick, crazy, or what? Oh, she's going to do it. Hey, get this flat. Before you talk, you do it to prove you got it. I don't care about signs that follow the Word. Forget it. I want the signs that precede the Word. Vindication. Because the devil can take any gift and do what he wants with it. Vindicator, Prophet William Branham said so. So what are you going to do now? I want some answers. I don't handcuff for nothing. I'm not here to kid anybody or kid myself. I'm either lost or I'm found. And we're not playing around because it's too late. I'm 84 and a half. And I'd like to be out of here by tomorrow morning, dead, gone. You say, Brother Vale, what if you stuck around a little longer and something could happen? I'm not interested. Because if it hasn't already happened, I'm not interested. Because my Bible said he took away the first to establish the second and didn't say one thing about a third. Hallelujah! Now we should shout and scream. See, listen, I don't mind shouting and screaming. I've got emotions. Get this flat. But I'm a teacher. And if you like to shout and scream, be my guest. That's fine by me. Just don't disturb somebody else. When the meeting's over, you want to scream and run around, hug each other, cry, dance in the aisles. Hey, look, I've got nothing against that. Just don't men hug women. Unless you're very discreet. Not too many men could do that. Men hug men and women hug women. That's all right. All right, listen. By a new living way which he has consecrated for us. God's consecrated it. God said, this is what I want. This is what I've got. It's over. It's finished. It's consecrated. That means God put his blessing on it. And that means God can't put his blessing on anything else. Now do you see where the blood comes in? See the preciousness, the precious ointment. There's no precious ointment like it. There is nothing like this we're talking about. They sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Makes me white as snow. It does a whole lot more than that. It guarantees you your citizenship. It guarantees you the sealing of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Guarantees you a crown, a place in glory. Guarantees you everything. Because it is the root and the foundation. Because out of the blood comes life. All right. We're talking about this. Consecrated through the veil, that's to say his flesh. And having a high priest, we draw not with a true heart. A true heart. How do you have a true heart? When the heart is full of iniquity. And out of the mouth the mouth speaketh. How do you have a true heart? Because now you got the Word of God down there. The life of the Holy Spirit in the Word is getting down there, feeding the inner man day by day. It's a true heart. In other words, it's got the truth in it. Can't be a true heart unless it's the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. Can't be. And we're talking now just not about a vessel that pumps blood. We're talking about a heart actually types in full assurance. Having the heart, now tells you what? Having the heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now look at that. There's only one thing that can do that with sin, and that's the blood. And over here, what about our bodies? Washed with pure water. That's the Word of God. Or Brother Branham said, give me a woman, a virgin, a young woman, who stands still in the waters of separation. And she'll stand there till she hears the message. Then he talked about clothing her. He got sent to clothe the bride. You bring on your holy vesture, the Word of God standing by. How do you clothe the bride? With a sword. Sword cuts the clothes off of them. It doesn't put them on. This is the Word of God. The sword of the king is the Word of God. Clothed with the Word. Now all glory is within. All glory is without. You say, Brother Vale, well, how can I believe that? Because it's given to you. It has nothing to do with your thinking. Nothing to do with you. When does grace have anything to do with you? I give you a gift. A pure gift. Oh, you jump out of the world, Brother Bill. Listen, shut up. I'm giving you a gift. Because I want to give you a gift. Why? Because you're my precious brother or sister. You're a child of God. Grace is a gift. And you try to put works in it. It's no longer grace. It's no longer God having done it. Brother Branham said, that's the trouble. All the time looking back. All the time looking forward. Never knowing what's going on. And when God does something going on, they want to add to it. Leave it alone. Now, wash with pure water. Pure water. That means the Word of God is undefiled again. If the bride's going to have a virgin garment, she's got to have pure water. Got to have pure Word. Vindicated Word. Now, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as a man or some is, but exhorting one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, if you refuse the truth, the blood does not avail. So all the time we're talking now about what the blood does. Let me tell you one thing. Turn down the Word of God relative to this hour. The blood doesn't avail for you. So now where's your purity? Where's anything? Where's all the good works you did? Where's all the prayers that you prayed? Where's all the times you laid hands upon the sick and few were healed? Where's all the times you talked in tongues and prophesied, did this and did the other thing? Where's all the times you fasted? Where's the time you gave your body to be burned? What does it do for you? Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because there's no way that you can have any such thing given to you whatsoever unless the revelation accompanies it. So if you speak in tongues without a revelation, you're gone. If you use gift without a revelation, you're gone. That's where Brother Branham put the church in order, and they turned it down flat. Where's Junior Jackson? He's bunched today. He did it. I mean, he's mentioned his name because he did it. He calls the church age book file 13, throws in the garbage. That's fine by me. It's not my book, it's Brother Branham's. I never knew about serpent seed. I didn't know about seed, didn't know about nothing. I just wrote what he said. So they can say what they want about him. It's just like if I quote Brother Branham and he's quoting God. It's not my word, it's not Brother Branham's word, it's God's word. So, okay, we read this. Now, we read chapter 9 the other night, which is very good. But I'm showing you here further to what we said last night. As I said here already, verses 19 to 23, which I read, make clear that the perfection of the blood made way to an accepted life for the worship and access to God, and sons are the only ones, of course, that are going to have that. And there's no true access and there's no true worship outside of what I've already said here. And the whole thing goes down the drain, what God has done through the blood, unless you have the truth. That's the whole thing, because if you don't know the truth of what you are talking about and what you think you see and what you think you feel, where are you going to go? I've had people in my ministry years and years ago come to me, and they're so full of nerves that it's pitiful. But I read a book by Dr. Cowles from Boston, a very famous doctor. He was an M.D. plus other, perhaps psychiatry. I don't think so, though, but maybe. And he was taking care of people who were mentally ill. And he found what other men had found 30 to 40 years later, and that is, we are creatures of energy. And if your energy goes below a certain level, you automatically blank out, as a woman did. As one day she was just getting more and more tired, eating sugar and all kinds of junk she shouldn't eat. Her body was not getting nourished, so therefore she was going down, 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 until one day in washing a window, trying to get a spot off, 20-some years later, under Dr. Cowles, nourishing her back, she stopped trying to get the spot off the window in the insane institution for about 20, maybe 20 years. So I learned this thing, and that is, if you are low in energy, you begin having fears and feelings, and they will all disappear the minute you start to eat right. Then what good are your stupid jackass feelings? Come on. Well, you could eat a good meal and say, oh, I feel so good. Hallelujah, glory to God. Start speaking in tongues. That's not really bad, but it illustrates the point. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. How did Paul feel as his head was being cut off? How did Daniel feel as he faced the lions? How did the Hebrew children feel as they were in the fiery furnace? How did John feel when they threw him in a boiling vat of oil? How did Polycarp feel when they tried him to the pyre? How did Servetus feel when he was condemned for believing in one God and they let the faggots in his body burn? How did he feel? How did Joan of Arc feel? Don't go by your feelings. Dr. Bosler said, if you must doubt, doubt your doubts. He said, not your faith, because they're entirely unreliable. You don't go by feelings. You go by the Word of God. As I said to Brother Branham, Brother Branham, what about your experiences? What experiences? Boy, I told you, I got livid with rage inside. Because I was so frustrated seeing everything I believed go down the drain. And yet I knew I had to believe him. I knew I had to know what he was saying. Because he alone had the words of eternal life. He alone was vindicated. No other person was. Well, he said, what experiences? Oh, man, shoot. I said, you ought to know you had them. I said, what about the time you were in the woodshed there? You're praying and across the light appeared unto you. Another time you're praying like rain fell upon you. Brother Dale, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. Here's a prophet refusing his own experiences. I said, have it your way. And the minute I believed what he said and I caught what he said, I saw seed open up in the entire scripture, but as I can preach it today. See, you have to believe. It hasn't got one thing to do with your cotton picking little pink feelings. Well, Brother Branham, you know, I know something too. Sure, I know something too. I know that I got two hands and 2 feet, at least I think that's what I got. Sure, I know when the sun rises and sun sets, but I don't know that. I don't know that. And I don't have a think coming. And neither do you. And if I don't have one after all these years and being so close to Brother Branham, in the room where the pillar of fire was and everything else, and him looking at me like he's looking through just a glass of window and seeing what's inside, and you, all of you together, don't have a thought. I'm looking at everyone. You don't have a think coming. You don't. But if you want, you've got the grace of God, eternal life, and blameless, unreprovable, faultless before Him. So what do you want? Do you want what you think or what He did and what He said about it? I can tell you one thing. The guy that made the radio knew more about the radio than any other man, and he could explain it like any other man. Or the pseudoscientist, or the guy that thought he was so smart, said, well, you know, Marconi did it, but I'll be the guy that explains it, you know. I think God can explain His own Word. I think God's His own prophet. I think God's His own revealer. In fact, I don't just think it. I agree 100%, if not 199 and 200. So, all right, we read very carefully, 19 to 23, and that was based upon verses 12 to 18 concerning the sacrifice by this man once and for all. And it's completely vindicated, this is true, by the fact it says, whereof the Holy Ghost is witness. So the Holy Ghost absolutely must witness according to how He witnesses that this is right, that this is the Word of God. This is God having manifested His Word. This is God backing His Word. This is God the Word. Deuteronomy 18. Paul preached vindication because he was. The Holy Ghost Himself has attested to this message that I'm trying to preach from the Bible that Brother Branham absolutely preached the way Paul preached it for the 20th century, because the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it, and absolutely I am able, and you are able by the Holy Ghost, to take what Brother Branham said and say, here it is, here it is, here it is. Why? Because if Brother Branham said this, this, and this line up, Bible, brain, and heart, or soul line up, that's it. And it does. All right. Now, what this what I read based on 12 to 18 with the vindicated mention in verse 15, which is the Holy Ghost bearing witness. And as I said before, this tells you if the blood's applied, the Holy Ghost must come. Repent, be baptized, everyone. That's it. The Holy Ghost must come, piling word upon word upon word. The Holy Ghost bears witness to the perfection of the blood of the cross in behalf of the repentant sinner. Now, exactly what is being taught here, I read to you over in the book of Acts, where Peter tells the people exactly what Jesus said in a veiled language, eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you got no life in you. Absolutely, he explained it over in John 14, what it was, I and my Father, one, you and me, and I and you, and the Holy Spirit comes, he brought it out. And when he came, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was able to preach exactly the truth of what was going on. Now, the exact truth of the resurrection, of course, that we spoke of here in the book of Acts, we read it on Friday, and I'm not going to read it again because your minds can go to it and understand Peter's explaining that Jesus died and rose again according to the Scripture. And what they saw and heard was absolutely a manifestation of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. What they saw and heard was not the Holy Ghost himself. What they saw and heard were gifts of the Holy Ghost, God operating through the people, and on that day it had to be evangelical, and also teaching, so they would know certain things. So that's what took place. Now, that actually was John 6, 53 to 57, when he says, when he told them, my blood is drink indeed, and my flesh is meat indeed. Tell him that's exactly what it was. It's the same thing that he said to the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he said, I am the manna which came, the bread of life that came from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, but now he that eateth of me will never perish. Now remember, the same one that said that is talking about, fear him who can cast body and soul in hell and destroy you. So he's not talking about giving your life. They all knew the prophets died. They knew they were martyrs. They knew that. He's talking of that which is beyond, which is the lake of fire that precedes the dissolution of heaven and earth and the New Jerusalem. That's what he's talking about. And he said, that's what you've got to have, because he said they'll never perish. So we find over here, as I read in the book of Galatians on Friday night, in the third chapter, Paul speaking said the same thing. Christ hath, in verse 13, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, was written, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now that substitution, he took our place, although we were in him. Brethren, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. He tells you again that the cross, the shed blood, the application was necessary to cleanse the vessel, right in the soul, no more alienation, right back to God, perfect, to receive the Holy Ghost, which means he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You're right back as though you never ever were anything but a thought of God unmanifested. Oh, brother, sister, can't you see what I'm talking about? You have no life. You've never... forget everything about you. Put it back where it was. The Holy Ghost has done that for you now. Yes, he in us and we in him. Why? Because we were in him. Now it's he in us bringing us back. Full circle. Accomplished by the blood. That's what it was all about. To get the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now watch what it says here. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many seeds, but of one seed, and to thy seed which is Christ. So this promise is not to you and me. It is God giving it to His Son. We are now His. Through no fault, effort, or ingenuity, or superiority, or faith, or anything else of ourselves. No. It is God's covenant with the Son. He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. A generation is accounted to Him for a seed. This is the promise of God to the Son. So shut up and get your stinking nose out of God's business and His Son's business. Oh, I'm going to go to the will. Rockefeller's children, they've got the will. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to listen to the will, and I'm going to stick my nose in and say, well, not just a cotton-picking minute here. Don't you know one thing, old Rockefeller out there, he took oil out of the ground. Now, I want to tell you something, that really wasn't his. I got to share that, too. You think you're going to get in a Rockefeller's will? How'd you like to try it? I'll give the first person here at least $5,000 if you'd be that big a fool to go and try to break in on it. And why do you try to break in on God's covenant with His Son? I'm asking the question. I don't want an answer because, look, I'm stupid too. I've known this for years. And I've preached on the covenant between the Father and Son. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, not mine, not yours. I've preached on their covenant. Yeah. Crucified before the foundation of the world, before there's a speck of stardust, was already there. Let us make man in our image. Christ was the image of God. And we're in His image. Talking to His Son. You weren't there already. That's why I said, where were you when I made the heavens? Where were you and all the sons of God clapped their hands and they rejoiced? All the angels, everybody else rejoiced. Where were you? Not yet manifested. Yet a being. Great mystery. See, the covenant. It says right here, the promise was made. The promise was made that this one would have many children, though he himself sired none as an individual. I and the children that God has given me. All thy children shall be taught of God. Covenant. Well, it says here, I'm not reading the Bible wrong, you're reading it wrong. See, I told you, see. Get a kid out in the world, he'll read it right, but a so-called Christian, even claimed full of the Holy Ghost, taught wrong. Well, you see, we really weren't children of God in the reality that we were life of His life. Oh, no, no. We're adopted. We were a bunch of scuzzy bums that God looked down upon and said, well, I think I'll just adopt those kids. The word adoption means placing as sons. Doesn't mean you're adopted. You are a son, but you're alienated. Now, through the blood, you're brought right back. There's no alienation. And you're declared unreprovable, unblameable, holy. Why? The covenant. And the blood ratified the covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, let's go so far as to understand that Jesus also is a covenant. Because He stands for us with His own word. Now, it's all back in the hands of God. This ought to make us really love the Lord and worship the Lord and serve the Lord. And any time He says anything, we're just so happy to be a part of it. Why? Because no word returns to Him void. You think we as part of the word are going to return to God void? That He's going to lose part of us? There's going to be more than what He specified. There's going to be less than He specified. Why, such thinking denies the sovereignty of God. Where Brother Branham said, God, how many fleas there'd be, how many times they'd bat their eyeballs, and how many would take to make a pound of tallow. Oh, that's facetious. You shouldn't talk like that about the great majestic things of God. Oh, forget it. Forget it. This man can afford to talk any way he wanted. To illustrate his point, I never knew a man like Brother Branham, and I've known the greatest, the very best of the 20th century. I have. Don't worry about Billy Graham. He doesn't know split beans from buttermilk. No, he doesn't. He said, you can't prove God in a test tube. I can take the word of God and prove by the test tube exactly what Brother Branham said. And even the things I've taught you from what Brother Branham said, just going to the Bible. Looking into science myself. I've got more information on that very thing. We'll talk about it someday. All right. So we see the exact result or harvest of John 6:53 to 57. And we see it here in Paul in Galatians 13 to 14. And then we read on. And then we read verse 16. And now we're going to go to 17. And here's what it says. I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. So all right, there was a covenant that nobody knew about that God had with Christ 430 years before another covenant came on the scene, which was the law. Ha! Now try to put a time limit on these things. I just tell you flat. It went right back to the eternal God before there was an atom that God created by His Son, even before the Son came forth, formed of God Himself. And the only begotten means one of a kind and uniquely born. And soon as He came forth, He owned 50% of everything God would ever have or make. But it wouldn't be 50% of God, because that's not the law of the birthright of the firstborn. The firstborn is inheritance of materiality. Boy, if he inherited 50% of his father, that's if the old man was one arm, one leg, one eyeball. One kidney, forget it. Oh, God, have pity on stupidity. He doesn't, though. Let him that's ignorant be ignorant still, period, and walk on. Now, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And the promise to the seed, what? Was Christ. So you tell me Christ is not going to inherit it all? He's going to inherit it all. It's His anyway. And He inherits us, because He paid for us, redeeming the whole thing, part and parcel. Okay, I'm not going to read any more of that. I got to keep going on. Now, what we're talking about is further identified, and we're getting there now. Just hold on for the next 2.5 hours, and I'll feed you twice as good. And John, it might be that, but I'll try to cut it down. All right. Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now, this is a son of God wanting deliverance, like every one of us want deliverance. Get me out of this mess. I want to get out of this mess that I'm in here. Okay. Now watch what it says in Romans. See, before we're alienated in our minds by unrighteous works. Now we want to get down to the place where our lives take on the tone and the life that all these people are talking about. The Levite does not believe in the life. He's just a mechanical-minded guy, and all he knows is the mechanics. And we've got the dynamics. You've got dynamics talking about there's one tumbler's God, pour into Christ, throw the tumbler out, now we've got no God. Take that tumbler of Christ, pour it in the church, now we've got no Christ, now we've got it all. You've got all the devil's lies wrapped into one big thing, because now you're just like Satan, exalting yourself above God. That's preached all over the country. And the very guys that criticized me being an organization, now on the internet, it's called .org. Find me on the internet and find me organized. Find this church organized. We can wipe this church out right today, and all we have then is a building. That's right, I can prove it. Want to see our charters? We have a holding company that holds property. And we're charitable, allowed to give to give receipts. That's all. And we say we believe one doctrine, Brother Branham, and it's stipulated because I was the founder. I do my dead level best to preach the doctrine, and if I fail, I can be kicked out. Then you're going to burn the building and do what you want. But right on the internet, all over the whole world, .org. See, they'll lie about anything. They'll lie about anything to hold their ground. I don't have to lie about one single solitary thing. not one thing. She preached the word, and that's all there is, because I got no axe to grind, except I want to stand up for the truth. Now, Paul says, listen, there's something wrong. Now, watch what he says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, you can't get there without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't get there without the blood. To speak of better things than that of Abel, the perfect bride. For the law, now watch, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say the law of the Spirit of life. It says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The same Spirit that was in him. And he said, I'm going to send my Spirit back on you. I'm going to come. My Father's going to come. And it's the same Spirit because the Father's in me and I in him. Not two spirits. Not three gods. Not two gods. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's your covenant. That's the life in there. You're free from the law. You don't have to produce anything. You're free from death. You're going to be there. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now he tells that's the blood again. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's what I read in Colossians. Absolutely holy, unblameable, unreprovable. That's it. That's it. Let's keep reading. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of God. Now your mind is absolutely involved in here. So what about these guys now that say we're just a bunch of mechanical-minded people? Where'd they get their revelation? The revelation, God poured everything into the bride. Now the bride is God. She's the Elohim of God. Now they're back to the Pentecostals, quoting in, what is it, Jeremiah, Frank, command you me concerning the works of my hands. Hey, God, do this. Hey, God, do that. I'd like to see that done. But then maybe not, because remember the time Brother Branham preached to those people in Chicago? And he said, come on, stand with your Bibles open here. And he said, you're smarter than I thought you were. Because the first man would have been carried out feet first dead. So I don't wish anybody to die. No, it's not that at all. I'm talking about a showdown on this word. What's truth and what isn't truth? And the reason I preach this way is not necessarily to knock anybody down outside of us, but to let you know, look, I'm not stupid, and I don't expect you to be stupid, and anything I can teach you to help you, I will help you by teaching that thing. Because we have to reprove and correct errors. Because that's why he came down, to correct the errors. That's what the seals did. Now, if I'm going to stand here and not correct the errors, what kind of a servant am I? I've got one interest, and that's people. As far as this building's concerned, it's only here because of people. I'd like to go back to an old storefront. Forget the buildings. One time I hated them. I love them. But this is not a bad dump, you know. That's all it is, too. Now listen, mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now the same mind can go in two directions. The double-minded man, like the two-soul bit. Brother Van said the old soul's got to die. So which soul is going to have to die? Which mind is going to have to die? The carnal one. Well, is your soul carnal if you're a part of God? That's got to be the oldest soul I know. If anybody's older than God, I got to find that out. The two-soul doctrine, I just don't buy it, period. Now watch. Because the carnal mind is enmity or the enemy of God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, if your brain is not baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're out. You're gone. And Brother Branham referred that to teachers. He said, some say there's no teachers because we got the Holy Ghost to teach. Then he said, why is the Word of God then literally redundant in saying there's teachers? He said, what they need is their brains baptized with the Holy Ghost. Like I see saying, I'll bring the Bible here. I'll bring our Brother Branham. He said, they can't read. They can't read. I'll prove you they can't read. Brother Brown said, your church, and they think it means us. When Brother Brown's talking about your oneness people. They can't read. The only music they want are here. To aggrandize themselves. Hey, listen, we're all human, and we're all fallible. We all got to watch that one. And the minute we put ourselves up, we'll be shot down. And when we put ourselves up, we align ourselves with Satan. Because Paul says over there, he said, bringing every thought into this in Corinthians, bringing every thought into captivity, and every high thing that exalts itself against God, and the highest thing is your brain. And Brother Branham absolutely said, the last moving part is the eye, from there on is the brain. So watch the brain, honey. Watch the brain. Watch your brain. Watch your brain. Your brain is like the spiral on a spire on a church. Lightning can hit it. And believe me, you are dead if you don't have a lightning arrester. So you better watch out. Now it says here, the mind is not subject to the law of God, neither need it can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now listen to how he explains it. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now it tells you right there, if the Holy Spirit wants to reside anywhere, forget your heart. Let him get a hold of your head. Huh? Well, come on, prove me wrong. Where's the mind? Oh, Brother Bale, I am an occultist. And I believe in the Kabbalah, and I am steeped in Eastern philosophy, which is Western baloney, cut Eastern style. Like Christian Science is Eastern baloney, cut Western style. And all about the solar plexus mind, and I can tell you all about it. Because I studied about it. Hogwash. Unmitigated dung. Vomit. Death. Where is your mind? Your mind resides in the brain and the spirit. Brother Branham hooked them up, and I'll do no less. So if your mind is not a mind that's baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are an enemy of God, period, because of the wicked works of your mind. We read that in Colossians. But if you're under the blood and baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are holy and unreprovable, and in no way can you be blamed. No way. And it says, if Christ be in you, no, if now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You're not entitled to the Lord's Supper. You're not entitled to know the mysteries of God and the fellowship of the saints. You're not. You're not a part. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. And the Holy Ghost himself, the baptism, that portion of God, attests to the fact that you are a part of Christ, a son of God, after you have repented and baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you embrace the Word of God in its totality for the hour. And the maturity of this hour is you believe the word that Brother Branham bought. All the errors corrected. The word of God not only pure, but fulfilled. As in 1 Corinthians 15. Immortality. Healing in his wings. Immortality. Elijah the prophet. Now if you stand there, you know your brains are baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know you have got the Holy Ghost. Because to believe the word for the hour is absolutely the truth and nothing but the truth. So, now watch. But, and if the Spirit of Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. It tells you right there, you can be born again. Unreprovable, holy, unblameable. Stand there as the righteousness of God himself. A true child of God, absolutely redeemed. Vindicated, isolated from everything. But you still die. You will still die until death is overcome in the very last age, proving this, that sin is still in you. You still got problems. Yeah, they say, oh my, the Baptists and a lot of goofy Presbyterians, the rest of them said, oh, well, we can't believe in divine healing, or that would be, we'd be immortal. Oh, don't be a stupid idiot. Lazarus was raised from the dead even, and he died. You know, let's listen. Let's not be idiots. Please, before God, put away childish things. If we're told to put away those things that were effective when we were children, tell me, the bubble gum that you swallowed that could have killed you, is that a childlike thing that helped you? No. It was stupid and sickening, iniquitous. We're not talking about putting away stupid things. We're talking about putting away that which was in your life, though it was good back in those ages. And it was good back there before maturity. You put it all aside now in order to be mature. And the maturity shows, do you understand who's Melchizedek? Oh, that's a stinger right there. Because oh, Brother Bale, there's no such thing as that. No, I beg to differ. The Apostle Paul said it. And William Branham said it was under the seventh seal. And he said the greatest revelation under the seventh seal was that there is one God. And we must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore the revelation of Godhead that even Brother Branham had was not perfected and clear of all error until under the seals. And because if Brother Branham had everything so clear and no error in him to be corrected, then he would have been the seals. And he said Christ was the seals. Come on, put it together. Come on, put it together. That's just a mere hour and a half. I hope, or something. Okay, so, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Today the dead are going to come forth from the ground. All right, surely by now you have recalled the words of Brother Branham, who put the blood offering and the rebirth in one glorious simple statement that Paul and all others have expressed in thousands and if not millions of words, and that is, when the blood of the animal was shed, its life being animal could not come back upon the believer, but when the life which was in the blood, the same life that was in us and that went astray, the life of God that was in the blood, came from the cross, it could come back upon the believer. That was the life that was in Christ. That life of God was in Jesus Christ. He was the blood of God. His life was shed. His blood was shed. And we come now to John 14. And we'll try to be just as quick as we can without being too quick, because what's the use? I may never see you again. You may never see me. So let's take opportunity. I thank you for your presence. I love you, and I know that God loves you, and I know we're here today for a purpose. Let's go to John 14, beginning at 16, and reading to perhaps, what is it, verse 20, I do believe. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what's He talking about? Even whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He said, I'll return, I'll come back to you in the form of the Holy Ghost. Not as a man, not as a second person either. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you'll also live. Here's the one we're looking at. And at that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. You say, Brother Vale, I never knew that. You don't have to know it as though you knew it. It's a covenant that God made with His Son that it would be. You have to believe it. As Paul said, we have become the righteousness of God. You have to say, I have become the righteousness of God. And you're not talking about you and that body of yours and all the sins you've done and all the mess you've had. You're talking about the intrinsicality, that part of God that's in you. And when you begin looking at that and understanding that that is the real you, a sheep led astray, a sheep deceived. As Brother Branham said, you did a little bride, you didn't even do it, and you were tricked into it. Am I quoting him or am I not quoting him? It all right. Did he say it or did he not say it? Was he vindicated or was he not vindicated? Then did he speak the truth as it was in Christ Jesus or did he not? Now, that's the whole thing. And that's the whole thing where you know you got the baptism with the Holy Ghost, where your mind's baptized with the Holy Ghost, and it's no longer reasoning power that sees anything else but the Word of God. I cannot see anything but this message. And I'm standing here and I'm admitting my dumbness, my ignorance, and my flawed feelings. I'm admitting everything, but I know that's right. That's right. I can't help I don't understand every single bit. I'm getting better at it. But if I understood every single mystery, it still wouldn't matter. Because you can be, as a lot of people are, and I can be, you can memorize something. You can say what the Word says. A fellow I knew years ago by print, his name was Springer. He was out there in Denver, Colorado. A brilliant man. You quote John 1 and 32 or Matthew 6, 18. He'll say, what is it? He'll tell you the exact verse. And then if you quote it, he'll tell you exactly where it is. Brilliant man. And he was quite sure that vitamins from the Dead Sea would give you immortality. And up north there was a hole in the earth where flying saucers and little brown men came from. So much from Genesis to Revelation. There was no Genesis and no Revelation, I'm afraid. What are we demand of? Now, that is why Brother Branham could say that when a seed of God is baptized with the Holy Ghost, it makes the carnal body commensurate to a Word Spirit body so that it can manifest in its own degree or office as Christ would. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from all bondage, taken away all condemnation, and set me free now so that I can obey God. And Brother Branham stood in the pulpit, and I marveled when he said, I always do what I want to do. I said, oh boy, what's coming up? He said, I always want to please God. I said, oh, Brother Branham, I love you. You're my man right there, I tell you that. I'll go for that now. He's got my vote. Now then, Paul again tells us in Acts 23, now we're getting there, don't worry. I'm taking a long way to get there, but you're not going to forget what I'm saying after these two last sermons. I'll challenge you to... You'll have to, after these two messages, you're going to have to literally blank out your minds. Because I've hit every point as cogently as I could and as hard as I could. And I've quoted consistently from Brother Branham. All right, verse 20, chapter 23 and 6. And when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council of men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead am I called in question. And then he preaches the resurrection over there in 1 Corinthians 15. And he tells you that Christ be not raised from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. Absolutely. Paul preached the resurrection. Now how can he preach the resurrection simply based upon a man dying for sins? Because even if it were the Son of God, absolutely approved of God, and the blood absolutely holy, and we now declared unblameable, and perfectly holy and irreprovable, and we're right there and we're dead. What good does that do? Like Michelangelo's statue. When Moses was so perfect, he struck him with a hammer and said, speak. He didn't. So what's the use? What's the use of the blood washes all my sins away? Come on. You know, there's nothing to that. A dead guy is a dead guy. So there's got to be a resurrection. So if we believe in Christ and say, well, I've been set free, hallelujah, I believe in the blood, yes, I do, and I know I'm unreprovable, I know that I'm unblameable, I know that I'm holy, hallelujah, you're still dead as far as the body's concerned because the sentence of death passed upon it. Now, the point is, your soul never was lost in that sense. So now, if there's going to be anything done, it's got to be done to your body. And that's exactly what it says in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, if you remember what it says. And I'm sure you do. It tells you right here, blessed be the God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed all spiritual blessings in heaven and faith in Christ Jesus. According, He has chosen us even before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us to the positioning of the children through Jesus Christ to Himself, through Jesus back to God, according to the good pleasure of His will. He wanted it done and He did it. To the praise and glory of His grace, which means we didn't have a thing to do with it, He did it for us. Wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. A very special position He gave us. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. When He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known His mystery as well in the dispensation of time, He gathered together all one and so on and so on. And then it says, in whom you also hoped, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. It tells the whole thing in a nutshell. That's not John 3:16, that's Ephesians 1, chapter 1. And it goes on to the end where you're raptured and taken to the New Jerusalem finally. That tells you right there what it's all about. Now the point is then, it's not only am I cleansed from sin, I'm absolutely given the life of God that is so great that when that life touches my body, every single cell, let every cell die. Let it go back to gases. Let it become invisible. God will bring it right back in a glorified form. Because the word resurrection means to bring back. As Brother Branham said, if I drop my handkerchief and then I pick up like a book, he said, that's not resurrection, that's replacement. Right? My body's going to come back. Job said, in my flesh I'm going to see God. Paul cried and he said, oh, that I may attain to the out resurrection from among the dead. That I may be in the first resurrection, not the second resurrection. How he got there, we get there. All of God. Before in the mother's womb. Back in the mind of God. Back before there was a molecule. Back before God's Son formed and God gave birth to His Son, thereby giving birth to Himself as God. Way back there. Now it's manifested. Now, I can't read all this. Now, as clearly as I can, I've outlined the blood of the cross. Wherein we have the complete absolution from all sin. Adams, our ancestors, ourselves, whatever. As I read in Colossians. This perfection before God not only allows us to approach unto God by repenting and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but allows God Himself to give us a part of Himself, Christ in us, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the hope of glory. By filling us with Himself in our rebirth or baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you how the devil can answer that one. When Brother Branham preached the big message on oneness in Chicago, 300 preachers, they say, were there. I don't know how many, but it doesn't really matter. When he got through preaching and challenged them, prove to me that there's a Trinity, there's only one God, Son, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we after it. Now, he got through. He said, come on, get your Bibles and stand here. He said, you're smarter than I thought you were. Now what happened? Tommy Hicks, the man who had the vision of the bride lying there, all tied down with thongs, like the Lilliputians had tied down Gulliver? Wasn't that right? Is that right? Lilliputians had tied down Gulliver. And now like a giant ready to awake and cast off the bonds. That's his vision, hogwash. He gets up and what does he do? He starts saying, repeat after me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, Brother Branham, shut up and sit down. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've got the Holy Ghost. Don't you dare tell us what we believe to be wrong. Now, come on, sit there. Sit there and think. Was that of God? How many spirits are there? Two. The end time, the devil is so close to God, you got to have something, or you let get deceived, right? Did they have it? No. Brother Branham said, you who claim to have the Holy Ghost will say amen to every word of God. And you won't say amen to every word of God like Eve did. Because Eve said, because the devil said, you shall not surely die, but you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And God had to come right behind the devil and say, yes, that's right. There is God knowing good and evil. Yeah. So you think the devil can't handle the word? That's all he does handle, my brother, my sister, because that's all he's got to handle. Because why? The devil's a liar from the beginning, and the truth is nothing. The lie is nothing but the truth perverted, right? Huh? Come on, right? Ain't no such thing as a lie. There's nothing there to lie about. Huh? Oh, come on. Oh, now, this is where I could shout and scream, hallelujah, Brother Branham, you are so right. Bless your dear heart. Bless your dear heart from God. You are so right, and it is so wonderful. Now then, we are one with God. As the Scripture says, and I read to you, John 14:16 has come to pass. And now, we are actually to where we are from that, whether you want to believe it or not, and I know you do believe it, we are now over here in Revelation, and it's chapter 21, the first few verses, which, and I saw a new heaven and new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now I want to tell you something. That's in the promise of Abraham, because no matter how you read the book of Genesis, Paul said Abraham was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so therefore the covenant promise to Abraham and his seed, singular, which is Jesus Christ, is absolutely, God said, I am going to see established the New Jerusalem. Number one, with the Lamb on the throne, the bride on the pyramidal city's walls, foundations, 12 foundations, pyramidal city, 1,500 miles to the base, 1,500 miles high. There is the Lamb on the throne. There is the bride. There's 144,000. There's all the others outside to bring the glory in, the foolish virgin, every seed of Adam coming back, angels, archangels, cherubims, everything there, and the pillar of fire, God himself above the throne, and before they call, he answers. That is what we have right now, my brother, my sister. When I said years ago, we don't sing we're marching to Zion, we are marching Zion. We are the Zion of God. If we aren't, how come New Jerusalem's our mother? In other words, the woman has to bear the seed the man plants and brings her to maturity. And there's never going to be anything until New Jerusalem's all completed. And then what's God going to do? Dissolve all the heavens and earth. We're going to be up there on the throne with him. Then he's going to redo the whole thing, and we're going to be with him. Now, you see, that is what we have and what we are. Now, in the meantime, and this is what I want to get to, and I've taken a while to get here. In the meantime, let us be very careful to realize an admonition from God concerning the holy blood. And the holy blood, the chemicals, carried the holy life in a measure that you and I can learn about, ponder, philosophize, wonder, admit it, and never really, really, really have it as God has it, and the Son had it in their minds and understanding. I don't think even Paul had it. I don't believe William Branham really had it either. You just have to accept it. And when you do, and you say, well, it's been vindicated, so that's it. I thank you, Lord, God of heaven and earth, that you've held this from the wise people who got to delve in and try to get it and make a philosophy. I've been converted full of the Holy Ghost, so I'm like a child. Remember, I taught you from Scripture, the big thing is be converted, and then the child. Now, be a child. Forget it. It's be converted, full of the Holy Ghost, then as a child. Shepherd leading sheep, father leading sons. Teacher leading the pupils. The Lord, I take it. How many times did you people learn the ABCs by the teacher saying, now I want to show you something. Before we had the language written, the A comes from the Arabic, because the Arabians were the one that said so-and-so. How many people told you in class, you know, the English language is 55% Latin and about 11% or 14% French. and then a little percentage, and the English only is 4%. Were we ever taught that? John, you weren't even taught. How dumb can you get? Well, you're a Scotsman, so okay. Betty was taught. She didn't remember. You weren't taught that. Your mother didn't say, now, little baby, listen to me. Mom, mom, mom. I'm mom, mom. Well, you might have said that, because you're stupid like the baby. And this is dad, dad, dad. And this is bow, wow, wow, dog, dog, dog. You do for a while, but pretty soon, say, what's that? Well, that's peas. Oh, no, peas. Yeah, come and get some. These are beans. Yeah. And pretty soon, you go to writing, and if the kid's smart, he's gone to the store with you, and the word peas is on a can of peas, and he sees the peas, he says, oh, that word is peas. Yeah, smart kid. And he's, oh, beans. Oh, this is corn. Oh, prunes. Apple. Yeah, peach. He doesn't eat. Now, I'm trying to show you, you accept things. You accept them. You accept cold. You accept heat. You don't have to understand that heat lost is heat gained when cold water and hot water comes together. You don't have to learn. What do you care? You just add the hot water till it's warm, or you add the whatever, cold to hot or hot to cold. And how do you test the baby's what? Put the elbow in. In other words, I'm trying to tell you something. In life, you accept. I bet about 90% of every single thing we have to do it. Now, Peter's a pretty smart kid. We all know that. He's with a pretty big company. Got a lot of men under him. And Peter, how much were you taught in your life that you just didn't have to accept? About 90%, right? Yeah. Well, why not accept this? This is scientific. Billy Graham said God cannot be proven. He can't be found in the test tube. I can find it in test tubes. I can find serpent seed in the test tube. I proved it to you. I read the article. I told you about several venereal diseases. I'll tell you more one of these days when I got time. What happened in Great Britain? Oh, hallelujah. Scientific. Ho, ho, ho. Who did Billy Graham think knew everything in the beginning? And he didn't tell us something? Come on. Now I feel like running and screaming and jumping, but Billy wouldn't like that. Okay, listen. In the meantime, we must be very careful to realize an admonition from God concerning the holy blood, 100% efficacious for eternal redemption, as we read in Colossians, beautiful. And that admonition is this, do not ever attempt to say or make the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ a commodity of our convenience and believe it can be used as a tool for our foibles and fallibilities, our insensitivities, our failings, or our sins, and think we can get away with it. Good Roman Catholics. I believe in the blood. But I want to tell you something. I am the priest who can forgive you. Ah, yes, because I turn the bread into the body of Jesus. And I drink the wine myself, of course, because I like wine. Makes me feel good. In the meantime, what's your sin? Well, Father, I've done so-and-so, sinned against heaven grievously, and I've done so-and-so. My sin, friend, my son, your sins are forgiven. $20 in the poor box. Oh, Father, I've come today because my uncle died. He was a rich man. He never loved the church like I love the church. I'm afraid his soul's in purgatory. $100, my son. $100 for this novena. $500 for that. $6,000 for that. I'll get him out of purgatory. Convenience. And they talk about the blood. Convenience. Forget it. Forget it. Now, let me read to you. So we understand what we're talking about. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. In other words, I'm going to show you that Protestants are no different from Catholics. In other words, a sinner is a sinner, a sinner. Never mind what his brand is. Remember, Brother Branham talked about the cattle with the brand. Didn't mean a thing. It was the bloodline. Do you have the blood tag on your ear? All right. Now, Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19. And it tells you there, Having therefore, brethren, bold entered the heavenlies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he's consecrated for us, that's through the veil, to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and a conscience evil, and our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, that's to make very excited to be the in crowd of serving God and loving God, not forsaking them ourselves and so on. But watch what it says in 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy of trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing? In other words, an unholy blood will bring forth unholy things. A holy blood will bring forth holy things. An unholy thing, and had done despot to the Spirit of God. For we know this, we know him that saith, vengeance is mine, saith, belongeth unto him who saith, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now, Paul's talking to brethren, and he's talking to people that belong to God. Now, I'm using this verse more in illustration than I am in an actual projection of what I'm going to talk about, though believe me, it's there. Because I'll prove to you it's there. What I'm trying to do is to show you, you can take the blood and make it an unholy thing. You can trample the blood underfoot. You can do despot to the Spirit of grace. Period. That's what the Bible, is that what the Bible said? Then I'm quoting you correctly. That's what the Bible said. We agree. Whether you agree or not, it doesn't matter. You have to agree. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what the Bible says. Now, evidently, here is something that the blood cannot use. You cannot use the blood as a defense. You cannot come before God using the blood as a defense for this, which means you've turned down the vindicated word. Well, you might have quoted the prophet just the way you want to quote him. Like I've been telling all along, anybody can quote the prophet and go to hell doing it, like you quote the Bible and go to hell. That's what the devil did. He quotes the Bible. You can refuse what the prophet said all the time, talking about the prophet. Now, that's what happened here. Because the people in Galatia turned from the word of the living God, the true gospel, which is a covenant of God with his Son that includes us, because it's redeeming the lost sons, or the misplaced, or the sons that have gone off into error. Now, you cannot come and claim the blood of God without the word. You can't do it. No word, no blood. Why? Because the life of the blood is the same life that's in the Word, and you can't turn down the Word, the message of this hour that alone has the life in it, because the words that he speaks are spirit and life. And remember, the voice that once spoke upon earth now speaketh from heaven. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, if the Lord descends with a shout, the absolute Greek proves that the one descending is not the one whose voice is heard, it's somebody else's voice, which was William Branham's. What is the Word of God? Now, the Bible said, as we near New Jerusalem, if you turn that one that spoke back there and the earth trembled in, you refuse the one that's speaking from heaven now, that's our Lamb, that's the one, the head of the church, he's speaking through the Holy Ghost, he has to, through the prophet, you turn him down, there's nothing but fiery indignation facing you. So the blood is not efficacious when you turn down the word. Why? Because it's the blood of the covenant. Turn down the covenant, then the blood doesn't bind what's turned down. The blood only binds what's accepted. So you see, you just can't take the blood and say, Lord, I'm under the blood, but you know, I don't agree with Brother Branham, and I don't agree with this, and I don't agree with that, I'm under the blood. They left this church with the same attitude. I was challenged, well, I don't. That one fellow said, well, I don't agree with what you teach. I said, what's to agree? As a man, anybody going to tell me that I'm wrong? Hey, listen, come on, be a man. Get your Bibles. Get what Brother Branham said. Let's see if you read it right. Let's reread it. See, that's the thing. I've been showing you these last two sermons, points that I know you missed, where he said brothers. Where he said, see, that's the one that is Christ. Taking you back everything I've preached over the last 30-some years. See, I'm ready for the white throne, whether I'm ready or not. You know what? Because they've got to be there. You're going to be there. You think you won't? I got news for you. At one point, a man wants to die, but after that, the judgment. Now, Brother Branham said, when he sang that song, I'll go with him through the judgment, you're doing that right now with this word. Huh? Didn't say blood now, he said word. Must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. All right, let's watch now. We read along here, and let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and that's for this hour. And it says right here, leaving the principles, go on to perfection, doctrines of baptism, and so on. And it says, this will do if God permit, but God didn't permit it then. No way. But now in verse 4, for it's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, the last time enlightenment comes, and have tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, come on, that's Pentecostals, have tasted the good word of God, they saw Brother Braddock's ministry, took part of it, imitated it, fell under it, turned down the word, and the powers of the world to come, the powers of the world to come under his ministry, of that world which is not yet here, time and eternity blending, we're into it right now as a Roman candle. We are before the white throne, he said it twice. Come on now. I feel real good. I feel real spiritual. It's out of my hands. I'm hitting to do with it. He said, you do that. Not if they shall fall away. The Bible says, having fallen away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, they spill his blood all over again and tramp on it. Because they don't know it's the blood of the covenant. It's just blood, 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 blood. What about the word? Oh, come on. Hallelujah for the blood. I ask you a question. How did you hear about the blood? Oh, Brother Vail, it's in the word. Then did you hear the word in the word about the blood? Now let it sink in. I've been preaching the most important messages of my life recently to sum up things as I've never summed them up before for you. So I'll be out of here shortly, I do believe. In fact, there's no problem because I got to go anyway. And what does it matter if I don't want to go? If I went kicking and screaming, what's the difference? I got to go. If I go shouting glory, hallelujah, what's that got to do with it? I hear a lot of people die shouting glory, hallelujah, and turn this message down and defy Almighty God and blaspheme the word. So I'll name you names. You want me to name names? I'll get you the names and the write-ups about those same men. Yeah, Pentecost. So don't call my bluff. I'm glad to have you call. If you want my bluff called, I'll be sure I can just phone the people and say, send me that article. Little girl, send me the article you wrote about your dad. The Trinitarian who died that defrauded Brother Branham. The man who said, hey, Brother Branham's a prophet when he has a vision and tells you about your stomach and your ulcers, but when it comes to work, forget it. Listen to us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm sure Judas said, maybe louder than anybody, hey, isn't this the Christ, the Son of the living God? Isn't he the Messiah? Oh, he raised the dead, he healed the sick. I want to tell you something about him. Now, come on, do you think he didn't? If Satan led in the worship of God back there, he leads in the worship of God now. So he said here, you put him to open shame, for the earth was drinketh in the rain that come oft upon it. How often? 7 times 7 messages. And bringeth forth herbs meet by them by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, nigh unto cursing, was then to be burned. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you ministered to the saints and do minister. And so right now, I believe this man is talking about both the bride and the foolish virgin, the whole bunch. And he said, you turned down the last chance you had to change your mind. Repentance is the mind. Oh, Brother Dale, it's my soul, oh, shut up about your soul. He said, mind, brain, spirit. Yeah, I'm just a mechanical guy up here. I don't know, I'm just, you know, Lee Dale, just mechanical, that's all, just mechanical. Yeah, I got a ton of gasoline out there, and that gasoline's gonna, that's made for my car. I don't even have a car, of course. In other words, they don't have mechanics, but they got the dynamics. How can it be? You need mechanics and dynamics. Brother Branham said, right dynamics brings the right mechanics brings the right dynamics, but mechanics alone do not bring dynamics. But you cannot have gasoline that runs a car without a car. It takes both. It takes the God to get them together. Now, this is another warning, and it says, brethren, so therefore be careful. Don't abuse the blood of God that atones and speaks. It evidently does not atone and speak here, for those people are condemned and they are judged. So what is the answer? What is it about? And I will try to tell you what that answer is by going to Scripture. And over here in Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 11th verse, it tells you, and if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. In other words, it tells you right here, when that word is alive in you by the Holy Ghost, you will be commensurate, as Brother Branham said, to a word body which lies in obedience to Almighty God. And so here we learn a sacred truth about the life in the flesh. A soul from God put in the flesh and tested in all parts will be like Jesus to the ability he has or uses to get out of the way and listen to and understands what it is to walk in the light, which is the Word of God. Now again, John says, if we walk in the light as he is the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we have fellowship one with another. The Word and the blood consistently go together. And the Word in no way could consistently go with the blood unless the Holy Spirit that wrote that Word is now in you, in that Word, to help you. And that's what the word comforter means, paraclete, one called alongside to help. It doesn't say he takes over and makes you do anything. It says he's there to help you so that now that you have the will, since you're put in the flesh, to obey God or disobey God. As Brother Branham said, you're put in the flesh in order to be tested. And what is the testing? The testing is always the Word. The speed limit says 60 miles an hour. Well, I wonder if I can get by doing 70. Yeah, you know, you get picked up and caught. Okay? Well, it said no U-turn. But, oh, well, there's nobody watching, except you forgot on the bridge up there, there's a cop with a camera. You made a U-turn, you got caught. See, the Word is what we're looking at here. So, all right, now, in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and we won't read, we'll have to read too much. It says here, well, let's go to verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That Paul says that. Now, if any man build upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The day of the Lord. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. Now, it doesn't say the man's going to go to hell, to a purgatory. It says his works are going to be put to the test. Now, how can you put a man's work to the test? There's got to be a principle or a judgment word. So now the Word comes into play. How did you handle the Word? What did you do with the Word? How did you abide with the Word? And in the Word, that you claim is in you. Now, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let nobody deceive you. Don't deceive yourself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become of the fool that he may be wise. For it's written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, he tells you right there, you are accountable, you are responsible, and you will meet exactly the life that you live in the flesh. Therefore, that life that you and I live in the flesh is not under the blood. So that we can simply say, oh, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have done this thing, but so it's under the blood, forgive me. You can say it, but you won't get away with it. The part that you say, forgive me, he can forgive you. But what you did, you can't get away with. It's going to face you. You yourself will be saved as by fire. So therefore, works and soul are very close together. And mind's right in here in conjunction. Now that's understandable, right? Okay. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what that he hath done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also we are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves. Now Paul is saying here, don't you understand, when I claim vindication and authority over you, I've got to meet you up there, and you will find out whether I told you the truth or not, whether I was vindicated. That's why I keep saying, look, I will meet you down the road, because I am going to meet you down the road. And if I'm wrong and you're right, I'm going to pay the price of what my life is. It'll be tried by fire and wiped out. And anything I could have accrued, anything I could have accrued in that life, where it says, let no man take thy crown, no man take your position, do this and that, I can lose it, but not my soul. So I cannot be fraudulently one who appears before God and says, now, Lord, please just wipe this out, because he can't wipe it out. Why? Because he's already told you he won't. Is that understandable? I'm talking about the blood of the cross and the life thereof. Okay, we're going to go now to 1 Corinthians 9. And I just want to show you things. I'm not grinding an axe, because it doesn't bother me one little bit. Because I thoroughly understand this. The bother is, I understand it, and I'm pretty stupid. Okay, Paul says in verse 25, running spiritually to get rewards. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Now he said, I'm running a race and I know what I'm doing. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body to bring it in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself have become what? Disapproved. Disapproved as to what? How he lived his life. Now he said, look, the body is dead because of sin. Brother Branham said, I sin 1,000 times a day, backslide 1,000 times a day. I've got problems. I'm tested. I'm tried. I've got feelings. I've got emotions. I've got resentments and angers and God knows how many things within my psyche. Paul says, keep it down. Get under it. Get under it. You know, I've seen enough wrestling in my day, and so have you, to know that when one wrestler gets the other guy up in the tailspin, round and round he goes up in the air, that guy's gone. He can throw him any place he wants, out of the ring, into the tub. That guy, he hasn't got any control. And that's what Paul says. Get under your body and get it out of control with the inner man in control. See, he says, I keep under my body. He doesn't say, I keep on top of my body. He can wiggle and scream and cuss and every, you know, and toss you off of him. You see, got one guy, pin a guy down, he's on top of me. He goes, boom, and the guy goes sailing across the ring. No, don't get on top. Get under your body. You're in control. You've got him in an airplane spin. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter now. And I don't want to read all of it. But anyway, well, listen. It says here, 9 verse, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers, and salvage of mankind. And what about your homosexuals? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners inherit the kingdom of God. And some were such. You're not anymore. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, even by the Spirit of God. Now watch. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Meat's for the belly, belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body's not for fornication, but the body for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Lord has, and God has raised up, has both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up by us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. I'm going to talk about that sometime and show you by actual proof today that that works. You are not only two people anymore, you're actually one person pertaining to your body. We have the evidence as proven in England. Now, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now that lets you know that fornication, sexual sin, is the worst sin of all when it comes to your body. Because you can steal, it'll affect your mind maybe, but it doesn't bring on the diseases and the rampant things of sexual-oriented diseases. Know ye not your body, temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And it doesn't say that God himself is in you, it says a part of God's in you. Well, doesn't it say that? Now let's read it. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? So it tells you God is distributing a part of himself. Does that mean then God poured everything to Christ and Christ in the church and now there's nobody but God? Look at their son, they're giving out. I'm not giving out. Anybody giving out? Well, I love you and I'm sorry for you. So all right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 now. And in 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which you break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, all partakers of that one bread. See, that explains again what Jesus said, take this is my body and drink this is my blood. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they that eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? In other words, when you even do these emblems, you're recognizing you're a part of Christ. And you're living off him, the living word, off of his spirit. He's everything. And he will end up as everything. Don't think otherwise. But I say the things the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not a God. You can't have fellowship with devils and fellowship with God. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't partake the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Now listen, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Now, it tells you right here, a self-centered life is not covered by the blood. You can't just say, Lord, I've been self-centered. Lord, I've done a selfish thing. Oh, God, forgive me. Now, he'll forgive you. But it doesn't end there. Now, what I'm trying to get to you 100% absolutely irrevocably, and I mean let's get this 100% because the President of the United States did not get it. This is what he used at his inauguration in 92. Now let's get this. I'm going to read. Galatians 6, I'm going to read, but he didn't read. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you are tempted as he was, and therefore fall. Brethren, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That's the devil. Let every man prove his own works, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And every man shall bear his own burden. Where does that leave Christ? The so-called burden bearer. Oh, Lord, you take it all over. You do it. Forget it. He's going to help you to do it. He's going to help you keep out of mischief. The smartest prayer I ever prayed in my life, I said, Lord, do you know I'm the marrying kind? You better get me the right wife or I'll mess up. You got me the right wife. More in love than ever. I just wish you had 20 millenniums to live together. Perhaps eternity will satisfy. But I was smart. I prayed the right prayer. God, I want the right one. I got the right one. Absolutely no doubt, ifs, ands, or buts. She'd been far more stable and far better than I have at the marriage, and that's all there is to it, because I needed somebody like her. Now she said she would do it. I was a Pentecostal preacher. I knew Pentecostal women preachers. I knew Pentecostal men married Pentecostal women preachers. I said, I'm not leave Dale. I said to her, look, I'm going to tell you something. You marry me, you'll never lead a song service. You'll never play the piano because you can't anyway. She could play the guitar, but she wouldn't play that. I said, you won't pray in church. You won't do anything in church. Not one thing. Lead song service, pray, have women's league, have this or that. I said, you will have your hands full if you can take care of me. 100% right in the word. How? I was just a dumb gook. But I baptized with the Holy Ghost. Ah, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, man, pays off now in the world to come. You better believe it pays off in the world to come. Now, let's keep reading the goodies. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's where you're told to supply people that minister for their needs. Now watch. Be not deceived concerning the blood, concerning the Holy Ghost, concerning God, concerning yourself, concerning anything that pertains to God. Don't be deceived. You can't fool with God. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, period. Not question mark, not wiggle out, not try to do this or do that. You reap what you sow, period. Now, try to make the blood covered. Years ago, a preacher who was Baptist, independent, he came and got the Holy Ghost Pentecostal style. That was my fault and a couple other guys' fault. He argued bitterly about this. He said, look, I don't have to pay the penalty of what I did. If Jesus paid the penalty, his blood covers it. That's why when he didn't like his wife, he got in adultery with another woman, got in more adultery, and ended up with four or five wives still praising God, hallelujah. You start for 1 minute like Clinton, Southern Baptist buddy boy. God is not mocked. Hallelujah. Jesus shed his blood. I've got a mediator. I've got an intercessor. I know the word of God. I got a theologian as my friend who tells me a baby's not really a baby until it breathes. So the baby's head is sticking out and I'll take a spike. That's okay, no problem. Baby's not alive because after all, the word breath in the Greek and the Hebrew is just breath. It's not spirit. In one place it's nephesh, I think, which means you go, and the frost distills it. The other is just an ordinary breath. In other words, you know it's there, but what are you going to do about it? So, it says God's not mocked. You sow, you reap. Find me one scripture that says the blood stops it. Find me one scripture where it says the mediator now draws the sign and says, oh, it's okay, you got away with it. Now, I want you to tell me. See, the scripture would not say you can make the blood an unclean thing if you couldn't. Why tell me that I can't rise above the moon? I can't rise above the moon. Don't tell me I can't because I can't. Or don't tell me I can. The word has already stated it. The offering of sin for the soul. The body dies because of sin. No matter how good you are, you and I will die and be raised in the resurrection unless it's time for the righteous to come out of the ground and immortality sets in, which I believe is already starting. All right. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Period. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. How? How do you know you're sowing the Spirit? Because you keep under your body. You get rid of your feelings and you say, this must be done because God says so. And you do it because God said so. You're happy to do it because you know it's the way out. It's the wisdom that's from above, not from below. So that's what I've been preaching all along. Sow and reap, sow and reap, sow and reap. But be careful how you sow because you will reap it. Too many people say, well, I've done this and I've done that, and therefore God forgive me. Well, that sounds very good, and let's see what all happens to it. Let's keep reading one more verse here. And as we have opportunity to do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith, do that. You sow unto them. All right. The model for this life, and by the way, this scripture is one that Brother Branham used with great emphasis, for these last days is Psalm number 1. I feel absolutely wicked continuing you sitting here, but I'd feel a whole lot more wicked if I didn't tell you the whole counsel of God. So I'm going to have to just bring you the Word of God as I want to bring it, because this is Brother Branham's message, is not mine. And I will tell you what he said to one certain man to clinch it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters of the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. For therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What's he talking about? Their conduct of life. Brother Branham used that first psalm absolutely as the end time. An end time psalm. Without this psalm and knowing it, you will never understand and have the 23rd psalm in your life. Because you won't know what it's all about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters, makes me lie down in the green pastures. He restores my soul. See, you put it all on God, and as Brother Branham said, I've got a little gift. It's a gift to get out of the way. Everybody needs that gift. Get out of the way. Because he that sows to his body shall reap in his body corruption or rewards at the end of the trail. Remember how Brother Branham tells the little girl that was pregnant and the baby died in her? He didn't catch her soon enough. She had, what is it, septicemia or something? I don't know, some kind of a poisoning. She was dying. Brother Branham prayed and the girl got healed. A couple of days later, they took the baby away, of course, and she was fine. And a couple of days later, she said, Mother, she said, I'm going. She said, oh, what do you mean? Well, she said, I'm going to leave this earth. Oh, she said, daughter, the thing is, you're nervous. You've had a bad time. She said, no, Mother, I am going. And she died. And Brother Branham was really fussing at God, and God just let him fuss until one day God showed him a vision. And in there, he saw the girl in the boat. The boat turned over. She was going down the third time when they got her. And he said, see, she was not living right. I brought her back. I cleaned her up. She's not living right again. So I cleaned her up, and I took her. She sowed, she reaped. I believe our son was the same way. I believe God called him. He just blew it. And he paid a horrible price, which was absolutely tragic to look at. So please note very well, there are mean actions, evil deeds, bad judgments, excesses, mean-spirited works, retaliations, oh, that's a good one right there, etc., that though they do not send us from the presence of God or deny us Jesus Christ, our high priest's intercession, and they are branded as works and deeds of the flesh, and there is no way they can be pardoned in a manner that excludes or takes away the penalties, reaping what we sowed, we must face our wrongdoing, which is sowing of bad seed and bad deeds. We got to face them. The seed once sown will not mature, or will mature rather, the seed once sown will mature unless we make something right of our wrongs to stop the proliferation or the depth. Mostly we refuse to do it, and we should not refuse to. Now let me illustrate exactly what I've been saying, wherein the blood divorces a sin completely as to a man's redemption, yet that blood cannot take away the guilty results of an act. As Brother Branham once told a man, son, God has forgiven you, but you will likely pay for this sin all the rest of your life. So don't try to use the blood and the baptism with the Holy Ghost in a carnal way that should not be so done. Now, this proves the fallacy that confession of sin removes the penalty. My illustration now is about a young man or young men. No one in particular. But this may be very scorching to some people sitting here and who hear this tape, and that's not my fault. I'm one of the fortunate ones that didn't go astray. This young man has a very strong sexual desire and desires satisfaction. In getting that satisfaction, he impregnates a young girl or a woman. She has his baby. He won't marry her. He abandons her and the child very callously. He gives her no comfort and the child no support. So the child is reared by others, which is not good. Later he marries another woman and he begets children. He gets saved. He even comes to this message. Quite possible. And certainly hope he does or they do. This goes for women as well as men, but you take the other side. He hears the message, he repents. He is baptized correctly and believes as he believes, and we believe with him every single word. But he's never supported his first child, which he does not consider his family, which indeed it is his family, because it is his child. Now this man says, I've repented, I plead the blood, I have Christ as my Savior, I have him as my mediator. That is true, but the Bible also says, the man that doesn't support his child is worse than an infidel. Now what can that man do? That man has to go back and make everything right as he possibly can. Make his child support right if he possibly can, and do everything he can. Now, any man sitting here in this congregation, that you have done that and not supported your child, you are not fit to be a deacon, and you'll never be a deacon in this church, because you have to be an example to the flock. And if you haven't supported your child, you deserted him. Shame on you, in the worst way I can put it. There are no illegitimate children. There are illegitimate parents. You don't sow and reap callously and say, oh, this is fine. You have sex with that girl, you should marry her. And when you marry her, having had sexual intercourse, you cannot divorce her if she even brings other men under your nose into the bedroom. Right, Frank? Brother Branham said it. It's in the Bible. Oh, I can sow and not reap. That's what sex is all about. Sowing, 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 but no reaping, no reaping, no reaping. Of course, there is what Brother Branham said that corrects the statement in the sense, why is it that way? He said very succinctly, children are born of sexual desire. Propagation through sexual intercourse is the word of God. Pleasure has nothing to do with it. Except for the pleasure of back, there wouldn't be any children. That's all there is to it. And Paul hit with all hard fists, as hard as he could fight. Beware of this entanglement of sexuality. Because I'm going to tell you, it'll get back to you in your body, because that's where venereal diseases come. And that's why we have AIDS, and they're never going to lick it. Don't think they will. All the talk about AIDS, now they've got a tougher one. And they're still lying about the number of people getting AIDS. There's just thousands and thousands every day. There's many by the seconds even. So the thing is this. Don't try to cover up anything by the blood that isn't covered by the blood. No, you're not going to go to hell. No, you won't be kicked out. No. No more than David. David knew he should not lust after his neighbor's wife. He knew he shouldn't get her conned into adultery. He knew that. Oh, he was the king. That's fine. He knew he shouldn't kill. Oh, that's all right. I can do it. I killed a lot of guys. What's one more? But you know what? When Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man, he said, I have sinned. And he said, yeah, you've sinned. And you're never going to finish paying for it. As much as I have had healthy appetites, and inordinately so, I have had one woman in my life. And in 1958, when I worked with Brother Branham, I was the only minister that he knew at that time who was called a virgin. I am not boasting or complaining, but I want to tell you this. There's something to it. There's something to keeping your vessel And dear Abby and Ann Landers and Dr. Schlesinger and all the women that raised their voices and all the men like Dr. Crane that started the whole thing, you don't listen to the Jerry Springers and the cruddy crap that's out there and say, well, it's okay, it isn't okay. It is not okay. And you are going to pay for it. And there's others that you're going to cause to suffer because of it. And you will be accountable for it. Now you parents, teach your kids. You teach your kids. The teacher will tell your daughters how to make love sexually. But my Bible says, mothers, teach your daughters how to love your husbands. Not make love, but to love your husbands. Where are the fathers that don't stand up? I have not been too good a one. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That doesn't bother me one bit in this sense. I will acknowledge my wrong, but I will teach the truth, and I'll not try to hide behind ignorance. Because ignorance is no longer the vogue. It is out there. So you must watch these things. A man who doesn't support his family is worse than an infidel. A father who does not support his children is not fit for any office in the church, deacon, elder, trustee, or maybe a janitor, I don't know. I don't believe the word of God is being stretched this morning. I'm not saying they're not forgiven. I'm not saying they can't make things right. But they have to be made right. As Brother Branham said, if it skins you, I don't know that I've obeyed that one, but I know some people have. If it skins you, you make that thing right. Now, to disregard what I have taught is to fall into limbo. To regard it as though I am teaching something that cannot be done is to further the case of limbo. Because we have strict rules in the Word of God concerning this. We have Jesus Christ, our advocate, and He is the righteous. We have an intercessor. We have a spokesman for the speaking blood, as Jesus Himself. Not one soul shall perish, but the works of every soul must be tried and judged, and therein are rewards or demerits. Therein are positions that are given, because my Bible tells me, as the stars and the firmament in all the world has a glory, one of the sun, one of the moon, one of stars, one of comets, one of this, one of that, even to sands of the seashore. Right down the line, it brings it into focus. And it lets you know all flesh is not the same. No, no. There's a human flesh. There's an animal flesh. There's a fish. There's a bird. There's an insect. But we are of the fortunate ones, although in misfortune, have had these bodies of degradation and vile and of humiliation and humiliating us and causing us problems. And a mind that has not been under the control of the Word of God through the Holy Ghost. All these things have conspired to give us a problem. But the thing is this, as Brother Branham said, and we must believe it, there will be a bride who, full of the Holy Ghost, by the Word of the living God, has come to the place where they have the mind of Christ, as Paul said. They have that position where they've matured and come into Almighty God. And we cannot expect of ourselves anything less than what Brother Branham preached and what I am preaching. There will be a generation somewhere that has heard him and heard me and other faithful men and heard you as faithful parents who will rise to the occasion, who will learn to sow in order to reap. Now let me tell you, this process of reaping to sow is absolutely infallible. All you've got to do is to start sowing that word. You start thinking that way. You start doing that way. You will be tested. You will be tried. You may go through months and months. You may go through years. But let me tell you, when you go through the fires of tribulation and trial, you will come forth as gold tried in the furnace. You will. And you will know and know that that word works. I've been through the fire in different ways. Not like some people. God knows I have been tested so little that I just feel humiliated and sick to my stomach. I have not gone through. I've always said I've never had any decent sins. Might have been the stupid, ugly, dumb little things. And I think they're worse than the big sins. Because they can just encroach around. Well, I didn't do this big thing. I didn't do that. And all the time, the serpent working in and out. Listen, he that sows in righteousness, he that sows that seed even weeping will come forth bearing precious sheaves, showing that the harvest is great. It might have cost you something. Like the Easterner, bearing precious seed weeping. That's all the seed he's got. Maybe there won't be a harvest this year. I could use that food to feed my wife and kids. They could starve. I could at least have food now and look down the road. He can't do it. He's got to commit that seed to the ground. And he's crying about it. It hurts him. His kids need it. They're literally impoverished. But he plants the seed and he comes forth bearing precious sheaves of harvest. One grain can wheat can bring forth 30, 50, even 100. That's a sin. That's what's righteousness. God help us to make these two messages I preach the mainspring of our lives, to see the pure, absolute Word of God and the truth of our living souls, that absolutely what God has done and what we are is 100% as has been declared by Paul. But remember this, don't think high-mindedly. Get under your body. Obey the Word. Sow correctly, waiting for God to bring that seed forth in your life. And you will find the greatest joy and wonderment that ever could be, because there's nothing like the Word of God fulfilled in a man's life. That's my message for 1909 Easter. And I couldn't take one back if I tried. And I wouldn't take one back word, and I won't add one more. And I love you from the bottom of my heart. I don't have an axe to grind with anybody. But I have to preach the Word of God. I can't go with my former preacher friends who said, well, you know, I'll just confess it. It's going to be all right. Well, it's true, but it's not true. And when it's true, but it's not true, and you want to make it where it's true and it's not true, it's not right. Let's rise at this time, be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing we've been here long in your teaching of your Word, but we also realize, Lord, that some subjects cannot be cut too short. We're going to a series, and we believe, Lord, that what you gave us was for these hours we've been together. And there again, Lord, we know that time has decreased over the years. It's been many years now since I've just preached this Word single-mindedly, single-heartedly, Lord, nothing else. And there can't be too much time left, because we know that the handwriting has been on the wall for a long time. The interpretation given from you, the apostles' message, has been on the wall for a long time. And it means, Lord, that it is even those who lingered in the days of Noah, you will not linger too long in this hour. Even though people may say, well, when is it going to happen? We know, Lord, that we're not looking at it that way. It is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen in our hour, we're taken off the earth. We know, Lord, it's still going to happen. And we know, Father, we hope anyway, and we believe, and I am confirmed in my thinking, and I have to be in my heart. I'm believing, Lord, I have taught the Word of your Word, Lord, properly and rightly, and if anything therein is incorrect, I know, Father, you certainly will correct it by showing me or the people themselves, but I do not believe for 1 minute, Lord, there is anybody can say that we can sow and not reap, and if we are have sowed in a manner that is entirely incompatible to what we might want from your Word, we know, Lord, we just simply cannot justify ourselves and say, yes, I'm going to have that regardless. And so, Father, we pray today that even as psychologists and people have taught us so thoroughly, we don't break old habits. We just build new ones. Help, Lord, each one of us today. And at my age, it's even more important than ever that I may sow in righteousness and reap in eternal life the things that you have for me and you have for these people. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, world without end. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus.